Broadcasting from Lockport, New York, it's time for The Dads Must Be Crazy. Just three guys raising kids and currently hiding from them in an undisclosed tool shed to talk about parenting, pop culture, and penguins. Or something else that starts with a P. It's Craig, the stay-at-home dad historian and hockey enthusiast. Howie, the stay-at-home dad who used to be a reporter when journalism was a thing. And Bobby, the retired Army vet, Trekkie, and gamer, helping to raise three kids in beautiful Western New York. Now, here's the dads.
Welcome to episode 16 of The Dads Must Be Crazy. That's right. We're old enough to drive, so watch out, people.
Sweet 16.
Yes, that's right. This week it's me, Craig, and Howie.
Hello.
And Bobby.
Howdy.
And apparently Stella, because I think she just chimed in for a moment there. Crazy dog. As you listen to this for the first time, guess what? Our kids are back to school the day that this episode drops.
Yay.
So there is much rejoice in the Bacon household.
And the Balaban household.
And my household.
Yeah.
Now, we all say we're going to rejoice, but when it comes down to it, okay, so we'll have a little more free time during the day, but all of a sudden, we're on a schedule now, too.
Yeah, but because what happens is everything that we would do during the day when our kids are out of school now, like with our kids, there's really not much to do during the day when they're gone except like clean the house and prep dinner. But everything else shifts to the evening because of all the activities and homework and everything else.
And in the morning because they need lunches.
They do.
They need to make sure they're up on time because my kids have alarms that can be a foot and a half from their bed and they'll let it run for 40 minutes before they hear it.
So they have alarms that work for you.
Yes.
But not for them.
And heaven forbid you make a noise in your own room all the way down the hall because they'll hear that.
Of course.
But they won't hear the damn alarm going off in their own room.
Well, that's when you take your handy-dandy baseball bat and go to their bedroom and smash the alarm.
Well, you know,
snooze.
I have high schoolers, which means they get up super early. I think the bus comes at 7:05, so they're up by 6. That's way too early for me.
Yeah, my oldest is up at 6:30 in the morning.
You're talking about the Lockport School District for both of you in Medina. All three of my kids, I have one in each building. I have one in the elementary school. I have one in the middle school. I have one in the high school. But they all take the same bus in the morning at the same time.
Really?
Yes. That is how Medina has done it over the last couple of years. They condensed all the bus runs so that they fill the buses up first thing in the morning, and then they stop at each school. And I know here in Lockport, obviously you guys are bigger than where I am. There's an elementary school here, there's a middle school there, there's a high school here. In Medina, everything is all centrally located. And over the last year and a half, they have built an extension along different parking lots and driveways to the point where you can pull into the elementary school parking lot and drop off the elementary school kids. Then the buses just kind of have to move over one driveway's worth, and they're at the middle school parking lot dropping off all the middle school kids. And then they go and they continue on dropping off all the high school kids. It's all basically in one centralized campus, and it works well. It took a little getting used to, but it works well. So for my household, I'm the first one up around 6 o'clock. All of my kids are up by 6:15, and as long as they are making the bus on time, they're out of the house by 6:55.
Wow.
Yeah, all three of them. I'm talking an entering kindergartner, an entering fifth grader, and entering eighth grader.
We have the issue where we have three different schools. The middle school child, I think she's got to be on the bus at 7:45, 7:50, something like that. So there's 7:43, she just said. We'll see what happens because it depends on how they do the route. And then the littlest one, it's anywhere between 8:45 and 9:05. Now that we have a regular bus driver, I hope that it's kind of a consistent time. But we have had, for the Roy B. Kelly run, a terrible time getting a driver to stay longer than a couple months, so it's been, our times have been all over the place, which is always a terrible thing because then you're trying to figure out how a time, if you go out, they want you out there 5 to 10 minutes early. So if you're out there at 8:35 and doesn't come till 9:05, you're sitting outside for 30 minutes.
And depending on the inclement weather, you could be soaked to the bone, you could be freezing your tuchus off, or you can be just sweating bullets. So, yeah,
and
you can't
win. And some of the substitutes we have, the bus stops at our house. The bus stop is at the end of my sidewalk. So if it's raining or snowing and we're standing on the porch, the bus will drive by, even though we're standing right there, because we're not out of the at the curb.
That always upsets me.
And they, but, yeah. Their excuse, they say, is, well, we'll be late if we... Well, you should be stopping anyway.
If they slow down to stop, by the time they stop, your kids will be there anyway to get on.
Right.
It's a matter of 3 seconds.
Yes.
Well, we have the handy-dandy bus tracker.
Yeah, we do. So safe stop.
So we always track the bus. So if my kid is like 5 minutes late, I'm on my phone going, where's the bus with my kid? You know, or if the bus is late in the morning, because my daughter has to walk around the corner and, well, at the corner of our street. And so sometimes, like, especially in the winter when it's snowing.
She go all the way around the corner to Davison?
No. Okay. She's right there at the corner of Independence and okay. my street. And so, you know, if it's snowing really bad or if it's raining really bad, it's like, okay, where's the bus? Okay, the bus will be here in like 2 minutes. Go ahead and get out of the house now. You know, so we kind of do it that way because there is no little bus shelter or anything like that. But, yeah.
Howie's got a bus shelter.
I know.
I do, but in the wintertime, I don't dig out the pathway. I just have my kids go, wait, at the end of the driveway, go. I'll stand out there with you if I have to. I don't want to, though. Go, you know? And you guys have been to my house. You've seen how long my driveway is, so they need to leave the house an extra 2 minutes early so they can
extra
get to the
extra 10 minutes to get to the end of the driveway.
Yeah, I guess a little
no lie, Patience's boyfriend, his driveway is a quarter mile long.
It's impressive.
Yes.
That is impressive.
That's longer than your driveway.
Yes.
You can't even see his house from the road.
That's everybody's goal, is to have a house like that. Now, what drives me nuts, though, is when, you know, around 6:55 is basically the drop-dead time for getting my kids out the door. Then I know I'm basically, you know, if you're watching a soccer game like a World Cup, it's got the extra time type thing. I know I'm in extra time, but I never know how long of extra time I've got. Because the bus will sometimes show up at 6:58. It will sometimes show up at 7:03. It has shown up as late as 7:15. But I know if they're not out there by, like, a certain time, they will miss it. And my son is the worst offender in all this because he'll be like, well, it's 6:55. I'm going to go out there at 6:57. I'm like, no, get out there now. Well, then we start debating. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Get outside. There is no reason for you to sit here doing nothing. Go wait for the bus. It might be early today. You don't know. You need to get outside.
We have the thing where the kids have zero sense of urgency when it comes to getting on the bus. And I'll yell, I can hear the bus coming down the street. And then it's all of a sudden it's the bus driver's fault instead of their fault for lollygagging in the morning.
I don't have to worry about that with Mo. Usually she's out of the house about 10 minutes before the bus is even supposed to arrive. Because she's got a couple of friends that she, you know, talks to at the bus stop, you know, until she gets on the bus. And then, yeah, I don't have that problem with her.
We typically don't have the problem with Joe because the bus gets here late enough that I'm already awake and I know what time we need to be outside. The problem is, again, when you have a substitute, we'll have 3 weeks of the guy showing up at 8:56. You can set the clock by him. And then he has a substitute one day that shows up at 8:43 and wonders why there's nobody to pick up.
And the guy thinks he's being really efficient by being so early, when really he's just screwing everybody's schedule up.
You have to send a second bus out because this happened last year. The guy refused to go back out after we called and said, listen, he was here 20 minutes early and we were outside, but he didn't stop for us anyway because, again, we were on the porch.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran down the street to the next stop, which is only a block away. And one of the moms saying, here comes some more kids. Didn't matter. Vroom.
Yeah, there's a difference between being efficient and early and just being obnoxiously early. And you're describing the latter of the two.
Yes.
What annoys me is every time any of my kids will miss the bus, unless it is preordained that I'm going to drive them to school, they will come up with some reason as to why. Inevitably, that reason has to do with it being my fault. I didn't wake them up on time. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. My son's like, why didn't you wake me up? I'm like, Alex, I went down to your room like you told me to at 5:30 in the morning because you said you were going to get washed up this morning. You acknowledged me, and 20 minutes later, you were still in your room. I went down at 6 o'clock. You acknowledged me again, and 10 minutes later, you were still in your room.
I'm like, toss the bed.
Yeah, I'm like, it is now, and I'm like, I finally got you up at 20 after 6. You came upstairs, complained there was nothing to eat for breakfast despite the fact I gave you 7 options, then decided to take 15 minutes brushing your hair and teeth. Trust me, I don't see what you did, and now you're telling
me... Dude has a lot of hair.
He's actually trimmed it significantly, but yes, I understand. I'm like, And now you're telling me you're missing the bus because you weren't ready and I didn't wake you up on time. Don't. I'm not going to have this argument with you because no matter what you say, you lose.
When you still lived in barracks, did you see anybody get their bunk tossed?
Oh, in basic training, it was almost an everyday occurrence. But when they would toss one person's bunk...
They tossed everyone's.
Well, they did, because I was in an open bay barracks, meaning that there weren't these individualized rooms like a college dorm like you see a lot of basic training going to now. Mm-hmm. So just a big open area, and you shoved, what do we have, 60 guys in this open area in four rows of bunks and wall lockers and stuff. And so you didn't get up on time. That was it. You know, bunks are getting flipped, not necessarily with you in it. Most of the time it was you would go down for physical training. You know, you're out running your 4 miles that morning.
You come back and there'd be a mess.
You come back, everybody's shoes are in a huge pile. All the laces are tied together. All the bunks are flipped. All the linen is all over the place. Every wall locker is pushed over.
And it's one of the few times you actually hear your drill instructor giggle.
Well, they never do it in front of you, but then they're like, hey, you got 30 minutes to be showered and down in formation so you can go to the chow hall, you know, because they got to march you to chow in basic training. And you're like, how the hell are we going to do this? And then, of course, nobody gets it done on time because you're trying to undo shoelaces and pick up wall lockers and at least put your crap back where it's supposed to go. And then they come up and like, nope, time to have a smoke session. And then they just PT you until you die. And they're like, well, you got 5 minutes. Find the rest of your crap. And then, you know, you've got, you know, 5 minutes to eat when we get there. It, which was never 5 minutes. You sat down and anyway, we'll
And
we'll
right there is where I'd wash out.
or ring the bell. I mean, I have, you know, multiple questions about it. So basically, how true is the training sequence in...
Full Metal Jacket?
No, Hacksaw Ridge, where the one guy decided...
He doesn't watch war movies.
Yeah, I don't really watch war movies.
All right. Did you ever... Okay, this was not necessarily...
He watched Full Metal Jacket because that came out before he went in the military.
All right, and then...
I did.
G.I. Jane, you ever seen that one?
I have, but that's all Navy SEAL stuff, so I couldn't even comment on that.
All right.
As I was not in the special ops community.
All right, fair enough. But some of the training in that just makes you scratch your head like, darn. But then you're describing similar things as to what they portray.
But as far as them like running with like a log above their head, those are log drills. We used to do them all the time.
No, I was asking about the... There's a scene in Hacksaw Ridge where one of the guys who is in... Were they Army? Yeah, they were Army. One of the guys in the barracks has decided that it is in his best interest because he is... He's got all the pretty muscles, you know? He's all... You know, he's chiseled and whatever, and he's doing pull-ups to show off to everybody, but he's completely naked. And he's doing... He's like... Oh, this is where, and so one of the drill instructors walks in, played by Vince Vaughn, of all people, which just seemed like a miscast to me, but whatever... He walks in and goes, oh, really? You think you're all good? Well, we're going to go train right now. And he gets everybody outside. And this guy is doing all of his drills outside in gear, but he's naked. So I'm not sure how true that would have been. But just
I'm pretty certain you would have got your behind beat if you were doing something naked in the barracks in full view of everybody. It's understandable to be naked in the latrine.
Right.
Right? Because that's where you clean yourself. However, when you get out of the shower in the latrine, you dry off in the shower with the curtain pulled. Then when you... Well, unless you have an open bay shower, in which case you get out, you dry off, you wrap your towel around you.
The bottom line is what you're saying is you're only naked when you need to be. This guy just seemed like he was showing off, and then they basically told him, all right, you're going to show off? Keep doing it. And
I think he just wanted to be naked.
Maybe. They called him Hollywood in the movie. I mean, it was... It seemed a bit extreme, and of course it was World War II, so I'm sure the standards then are so much different now, and the training then... It's so much different now.
The tangent portion of the show came early this week.
Yeah.
Which means there's probably another one at some point.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So
here's a question for both of you. Do you practice going to bed early? Not you guys. But do you practice your children going to bed early?
Oh, I've already started. Oh, yes.
On when my children get back from their trip with their mom, they are going back to bed at their normal bedtimes. Electronics will now be collected an hour before bed as usual. So yeah, we generally get them back on a routine about 2 weeks prior to get their, you know, minds and bodies used to it again.
Get your body clock back in sync.
Well, we've also got them, you know, they've read over the summer, you know, they always read. My oldest, because she's in advanced math, you know, we're having her go back through some of her old coursework with math just to kind of refamiliarize herself so she doesn't, you know, start off school and feels like she's immediately behind. So Yeah, there's just, you know, routines that we all do, I think, with our kids before we send them back to school.
I think the biggest thing that in my household that we need to work on is my kindergartner is going to have a full day this year. Last year was still just half a day pre-K. So
how was she at the end of the half a day? Was she tired or anything?
She would just kind of chill, and she was a little tired. Now, this past week, or well, I should say, you know, that this earlier this month, whenever this comes out, the day school starts, right?
Yes.
So a couple weeks ago, as of now, all right, she was in a ferry camp, which involved driving from our house in Medina, an hour away to Mumford, going to this like ferry camp and outdoor woodland type thing, where she had a blast. But the hour trip there, the 2.5 hours of activities, and the hour trip back, that's, you know, 4.5 hours plus lunch. She was getting home around 1:30, 2 o'clock. And she would just completely de-evolve into that monster that's stopping around the microphone right now. So so I've tried getting her to go to bed no later than 9 o'clock, and I'm trying to move it up earlier and earlier, you know, lying down next to her, reading a book, and she has an alarm clock. The last, I would say, couple weeks.
It's got to be tough. If the bus is coming at 6:55 and you're getting her up at 6 o'clock, she's going to want to go to bed by 8.
That's the goal. The goal is to get the littlest one in bed by 8. But I know that since we haven't even spoken about all the activities that we all have to worry about in the evenings at this point when school starts back up, that's an issue with her. So I've been setting her alarm for 7, and she's been able to get up, hit snooze at least, and come downstairs. I'm going to start setting it earlier and making sure she's in bed earlier. Mondays, it shouldn't be a problem. Tuesdays might be an issue. Wednesdays, it might, but really shouldn't be. Thursdays, it shouldn't be an issue. And Friday's not a big deal because Friday leads into Saturday and she doesn't have to get up. She's the only one I'm really not worried about, though. Because once you get her up, if you help her, say, here, Ray Ray, do this, do this, do this, she'll do it. She might fight you, but she'll do it. The other two, the middle one, you know, Tegan's pretty self-sufficient. I'm always fighting with Alex, though, because he seems to think that nothing I say is right. And since he's about to, you know, he just turned 13, he knows everything. So that's the biggest issue in terms of the mornings. Not the youngest one, not the middle one. It's the oldest one who seems to think that, you know, nothing he does is wrong. So, but
the cool thing about, well, I'll get back my Mondays and Tuesdays. I don't work on Mondays and Tuesdays. That's when I typically do my water cooler stuff. And I had this great plan all summer to only use the first 2 hours in the morning when I got up to work on the water cooler stuff. And I'd have more than enough time as long as I dedicated that time to it. I've done it 4 mornings, and I've kind of, you know, tried to stay off the computer as much as possible. I've definitely been on a lot less this summer, and I'll get my Mondays back. I'll get more writing done. That's the one big thing for me. But then, with the first day of school, there comes dance class.
Yep.
And 3 of them will be in dance, or at least 2 of them will be in dance. And then I don't think you're doing a fall sport, so sports won't start till Thanksgiving time because she does a winter sport. And then a spring sport. So once Thanksgiving starts, we'll have sports after school. And then in addition to the dance, there's going to be Scrooge rehearsals coming up for the middle one if she decides to do it again. Then there's extra dance stuff that they do. So we'll be up 7 days of dance. We'll have 4 days a week of Scrooge rehearsal. And then 6 days of, let's see, what's the winter one? Bowling. I mean, it's just endless once it starts. And then we start bowling. We start bowling the first day of school.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe we do. I got to find out what the schedule is, but that's neither here nor there.
All I know is it starts the 6th.
And I know that there's going to be, basically, we're going to be in an 8-person rotation this year instead of 6.
So we'll bowl less.
Which makes life a little bit easier.
I like bowling, though. Too much of a break between, I suck by the time I come back.
Yeah, well,
I like the 2 new people in our eightsome.
Exactly. So that makes life more fun.
There's just something that I really like about them. They're such good people.
Yes. Yes. We're still talking about bowling. Yes.
And you're doing karate.
Yes. My son starts soccer next month. So, and that goes all the way till December, and that's at least 2 days a week.
And karate and school.
And karate and school, along with things that go with school, so homework and stuff. Now, when January, February time frame hits, now you're looking, well, I also have band, too, because band starts week 3.
Not for him, though.
No, for my middle child. So she'll have band and karate. My son will have soccer and karate, and my oldest will just have karate. Now then,
she's not in band too?
No.
Okay.
So now then, when drama season starts, I'm going to have both my daughters will be in drama. One will be in band and karate as well. Then I'll have a girl in drama and karate, and my son will just be in karate, and I have karate. And so pretty much like Monday through Friday in the evenings, we're not going to be home.
Right.
Like, it's just the way it is.
You said when drama season starts. School's about to begin. It's drama season. It's going to be happening.
Drama doesn't usually start until like January or February time frame, if I remember correctly,
right? I
don't
think you're catching my drift. There's always drama.
Well, I understand that kind of drama.
You were just ignoring the bad joke. It is a dad's podcast. It was a dad joke. I apologize.
No,
it was
really
bad. So
it's fine. But you know, what I mean is like the after-school drama
practices. No, I knew what you meant, yeah.
Because at one point it comes like, hey, we're a month away from production, and then now practices are going from 5 o'clock or 4:30 in the afternoon until 6 o'clock, and I'm like, and that if that's a Monday through Friday thing,
how, depends on what part they get too. But now that they're getting older,
the parts become a little bit more intense.
More intense, so they end up being like, I know when Corliss was in it, she had like Monday and Wednesday were the days that she was there late, and
same
then the
thing
other
with
days were the shorter days. But now they're the eighth graders at the school, so they're the upperclassmen mm-hmm. for that school. They're going to be every day is going to be the later day.
Possibly, you know, and I mean, the cool thing is I just got to find one day, Monday through Friday, that I can at least get my oldest to karate, because then I can always take her on Saturday, because she doesn't really have anything on Saturday except
right.
for karate. So because I got to get her in at least twice a week so she can maintain, you know, progress and, you know, test for her belts when she's supposed to.
Talking about my kids' schedules, I know that my youngest one has dance class on Monday afternoons or evenings. My middle one has back-to-back dance classes on Tuesdays, but someone else is taking her because I'm leaving mid-afternoon to take my son to his STEM classes at GCC because he's in eighth grade, but he's also taking college courses, which he actually just finished, you know, the first 2 or 3 weeks worth of already.
Proof that intelligence is not genetic.
Wow. Not necessarily true. I mean, you do realize that my wife is whatever. Anyway, so Wednesday, I know there is another dance class to worry about. Thursday, there's another dance class to worry about. Friday, it's pretty open. But then since my son's also in marching band on Tuesdays and Thursdays, he's got rehearsal until 9 o'clock.
On Fridays?
No, Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Okay.
Fridays, it's pretty open, but I'm not sure what's going to be going on, because on Saturday mornings for most of the fall, my son's going to be going to various band competition shows that, you know, he's one of the trumpets that has to, you know, lead part of the walk the path bit that they're doing. I know that my middle child wants to be bowling on Saturday morning, so I don't know if I'm going to be taking her to bowling and then hopping in the car to go to the shows, because my wife is probably going to be a chaperone for a lot of these shows because she knows some of the band parents because she was in band with them when she was in high school.
And Alex doesn't really play sports, does he?
The only sport my son plays is bowling, but he's going to miss a lot of bowling on Saturday mornings because he's going to be driving out now with the band since he's joined this, which I'm okay with.
Right.
Because I'm happy that he's, you know, participating in something that is, you know, not necessarily the most, I'm not even sure where I was going with that, but it's something, you know, I'm happy he's doing something that doesn't involve sitting down, watching a documentary or playing a game on his tablet.
Plus I have another one who swims. The middle kid swims at the high school for the modified team. So there's that added on also.
Yeah, I have tried to tell my middle one, I'm like, you got to join a sport. She goes, well, I don't know how good. I'm not good. I'm like,
doesn't matter.
I'm like, it doesn't matter. You can be taught. Well, I don't know. I'm like,
and it's about learning teamwork.
Teamwork.
To work with others.
Learning how to win and to lose. Besides, I've told her, I'm like, you need to play field hockey. Well, why? I'm like, because you're going to hit people with sticks. She goes, oh, well, that sounds like fun. I'm like, well, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I think the summer break for like parents that stay at home, I mean, you do catch a break to a degree. You know, because you're not doing all these crazy activities across the summer, you know, if they're not involved in school activities. So what are you doing? You know, you're going on family vacations, you're barbecuing, you're going hanging out, you're camping, you're doing whatever it is you do with your family. And then all of a sudden school starts and you're like, oh my God, it's a full-time job after a full-time job. You know, if, you know, you have at least one parent in the family that works. And so, you know, I mean, I don't really know how to put it, but it just, it's the busy season.
We're lucky in that Wendy's a teacher. she has the summer off for the most part. And I only work part-time, so we have a lot of time to do stuff with the kids in the summertime. So hopefully we've got them worn out by the time school starts so we can rest and they can be even more worn out.
I'm always happy. I mean, even as a student, I was happy when school started because it meant better structure to the day. And for as much blowback as you get from, you know, kids and students who are going back to school, I think even they crave it to a certain extent because it means that they know what's going on. They may not know what's going to be happening necessarily in each class, but they have an idea of what's going to be happening during the day. They're going to go to school. They're going to go to class A, B, C, and D. They're going to have lunch. They're going to go to class E, F, G, and H, and then they're going to come home. And then any after-school activities they have, they will do. Any homework they have, they'll get done. As a parent, it's fun, not fun, it's a relief to know that your kids are going to be at this school for this amount of time, then maybe they'll be on a field trip, maybe they'll be outside practicing marching band or football or soccer or whatever fall sport you can imagine, or any non-school activity like dance class, like karate, you know, stuff like that. But as the fall schedules break out, we have so much, as parents, we have so much time to plan them out in advance for the most part that the kids might be relieved that they know what's going on during the day, but so do we. Because on a spur of the moment, we're not going to be get called by somebody saying, hey, we're going to I need you to do this. Oh, hey, I need you to do this. The likelihood of that happening during the school year drops significantly, at least in my experience.
Plus, it gets easier for parents to say no to other parents because when, like you're saying, that spontaneous request, mm-hmm. when they call and they're like, hey, we need you to bring this platter here on Friday to this thing. No, I can't do it. My kid's got this and exactly. I got to take them. You know, so, I mean, not that saying no is fun, but sometimes it is.
It depends on who you're saying no to.
Depends on the request.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, like you said, who you're saying it to. But, you know, we're so busy, you know, doing the mom and dad taxi service. We're coordinating. We're meeting other parents, you know, and then, you know, kids are making new friends. There's sleepovers. I mean, it's just when kids are in school, it's busy, especially in the evenings. I'm sitting here going, how am I supposed to get a home-cooked meal in for my kids if they're in karate, they're in drama club, they're playing soccer? I mean, am I going to have to cook 7 meals, freeze them, and then reheat them throughout the week? I don't know.
Here's the thing that there are going to be some people who listen to this who say, maybe the kids are doing too much. Has that ever crossed your mind?
It actually has. You know, my middle one, she's going to be doing band, drama, and karate. And I'm like, that's a lot of stuff. You know, and my other two are going to end up doing two things. And so I'm like, how are we going to get them all to here, to do these things?
I understand that line of thinking only because, you know, I was there at one point when I was, I think, in fifth grade. I was in, as a fifth grader, I was taking karate classes. I was going to Sunday school once a week. So it was on Sundays. I was going to Hebrew school twice a week. I was going to a gifted and talented school once a week. And this was all in Virginia Beach, right? So that's like 4 or 5 different whatever schools. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm a little stretched in here. I was in fifth grade. I was stressed out. So ultimately, I gave up karate. Since Sunday school and Hebrew school were all related, kept with that. And I only had one more year of the gifted and talented program thing because it was through elementary school. So it worked out fine. Now, we could talk about whether or not it was good for me, bad for me, whatever. I do think that it's our responsibility as parents to at least have our kids try some of these things, right, or at least be experience some of them. Like, my son started playing the trumpet when he was in third or fourth grade. I think it was fourth grade is when they started instruments. I forget exactly what year it was. But he started playing the trumpet, and we were renting it. And ultimately, he decided he liked it enough to the point where we bought out the rest of the payment on it. So now he owns his own trumpet. And he decided, he thought he wanted to join marching band last fall. And we told him, well, you know, you're going to be studying for your bar mitzvah. You might want to push this on the back burner. And if you still want to do it in spring, you can do it then. Because in spring, it's not as nearly as intense. You're basically just marching in a straight line. So he pushed it off. He joined in the springtime. This was after he begged and begged and begged and begged to join. So finally, after my wife and I discussed it, we said, okay, we're going to sign the paper. You can do it. He goes, no, never mind. I'm like, no, you're not going to play this reverse psychology on us. You want to do it. We're going to sign the paperwork. You're going to do it. And if you want to do it in the fall, that's fine. Because by the time everything starts in the fall, the bar mitzvah is going to be over. So you're going to have more time to devote to practicing and learning your music. Not a problem. So his big thing is He's in marching band, which takes up a lot of time. And he's also doing the advanced college course things that I have to take him to Batavia for once a week. My opinion is that's really, in the grand scheme of things, not a lot. But at the same time, it's a big time commitment for both of them because band is approximately 6.5 to 7 hours of rehearsal each week. Then he's got a show on Saturdays. The college course thing, it's 2.5 to 3 hours worth of a class. And then he's got to worry about the homework stuff that he would do, which is about 2 hours on top of that because he works with my mother-in-law for the science and then a tutor for the math. Because God knows, I can't do any of that anymore. So it's plenty for him to be doing these things. And if he continues bowling, which I think he will, that's fine. It's, you know, an hour and a half or so on a Saturday morning. But he has fun with it. It's something he wants to do. My 10-year-old daughter, she likes to dance. She's in 3 dance classes, tap, ballet, and jazz. She doesn't really want to play a sport. She's
God, I wish it was that simple.
Yeah, it would be nice, right? And my youngest daughter's in ballet and tap. So that's 5 classes I got to worry about getting them to and from, or at least making arrangements to get them to and from. Again, in the grand scheme of things, it's what they are interested in. And while it's one thing, there's multiple aspects of this thing that they're participating in. So I'm not really sure it's a lot, as somebody might be prone to say, but it's something they want to do and that we're encouraging them to do. And if they show interest in other stuff, we'll encourage them to do that too.
I kind of wish that patients wouldn't dance so much. I think it may not be as beneficial as she thinks, but I don't want to discourage her either. I mean, like last year, Monday she danced for 2 hours. Tuesday was 3 hours. Wednesday was 2 hours. Thursday was 1 hour. Friday was 1 hour. And then they had the extra ones they did on Sundays, which ended up being like 3 hours a pop. Like, that's a lot of time that you could be doing other things. But she likes it, and I don't want to discourage her. So there's, you know, my only rule is if you start it, you have to finish it for that.
That's a great rule. I think
we have the same rule.
Yeah, I mean, that's a rule that every parent should adhere to, frankly. So,
you know, but, you know, when Craig asked, do we think, has it ever crossed your mind that your kids are doing too much? I mean, obviously. But each one of the activities my children are involved in, they all have asked to do them. They've
absolutely
all said, like, I'm not that one kid or that one parent who's every bit of my child's free time has scheduled with some type of activity. My son played soccer last season. He absolutely loved it. So he wants to play again. No problem. So we're going to, you know, put him in again, and he'll still get to his karate 2 days a week because we'll be able to manage that. That's not a problem. Now, growing up, I was in marching and concert band, but I also played soccer. And just that, especially like before the summer ended. So the last 2 weeks of July, we were in band camp for a month every year in high school because you had to start to learn the first 2 songs. And, you know, we had to teach the freshmen how to march, you know, and then you started learning your formations and whatnot. So you're doing that during the week. Now then, when school started, you had band practice immediately after school. So school let out at like 3:20. Band practice started at 3:45, went to 5 o'clock, Monday through Thursday. Friday was always a game, so you were marching. I had soccer practice on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and that started at 6. So I had to leave from marching band practice, run to the house, get changed, grab a snack real quick, go all the way to the other side of town, which meant go across the highway, go all the way to another town, and practice there. And then I went to, obviously, away in a home game, home and away games, sorry, on Friday nights in marching band. And then I had a soccer game on Saturday the next day. And then Sunday, I basically had a day of nothing, which was great because I needed a rest. Now, when concert band came, it was, you know, you practiced in school and you might have a practice or two after school with the band as a whole. Was still playing soccer because we play soccer year-round in Texas, basically. And, you know, oh, we have to go out of state for, to play this. Well, if I didn't go out of state with the band, then I'd get a bad grade. So I'd have to sacrifice something to do something else. And that's really what I don't want my children to have to do is pick and choose.
Right.
You know, because especially with my middle child, you know, hey, playing band, doing drama, karate, there's going to have to be a given there somewhere. These things are going to overlap. You're going to have to pick one above the other, you know, and I hope karate is in the mix somewhere because, you know, they all seem to love it. I love the fact that they're all in it and I get to do it with all 3 of my kids. So I love it. You know, I don't get to do drama and I don't get to play band with my kids anymore. Now I can practice with my children, you know, that are in band. Drama, I'm not an actor by any stretch of the means. apparently I can't talk today, but
it happens.
Yeah, I've got the Magoo going on in the brain, but yeah, I mean, it's rough trying to get your kids to all these different activities, and especially when your children are in different activities. The only thing that they all three do together is karate, and then I've got two that do drama, and then only one of them is in the band. So I'm sitting here going,
thankfully though, Lockport is a pretty small community, really. Mm-hmm. So it's not very far to get from one thing to another. I think with all the stuff that we do, the two farthest things are when Eileen is in bowling, we go out to the bowling alley on transit, and if we have to go up to the Clarence Dance Studio for one day. So those are the farthest ones. But if you stack your trips so you get more than one use out of them,
yes.
When you go to Clarence, you stop at BJ's and you do your grocery shopping.
Oh, that's what I plan on doing every Tuesday is any, because on Tuesdays, if I'm going to take my son to Batavia for classes, I'm driving 40 minutes to Batavia. I mean, I know it's only about 25, 26 miles, but there's really no straight way to go. Mm-mm. And there's no spot where you can legitimately go 60 to 65 miles an hour. Everything is either 30 to 55. And mm-hmm. if you go much past that, someone's inevitably going to nail you and give you a speeding ticket. And I don't want that. So while he's there in Batavia, I'm not going to first come home. And by the time I get home, just turn around and go back and pick him up. Doesn't make any sense. So while he's there in his classes, I will have the youngest one with me. So she and I will get any shopping we have to get done. We can go to any of the big box stores or BJ's or what have you if we need to and pick up the stuff we need for the next week. If it's BJ's, possibly the next month. And then on Sunday mornings, when I take them to Sunday school, because only the two youngest ones are going to be going this year, it's a matter of, okay, they're there. This classes start at 9. I've got essentially an hour and 15 minutes to kill because I got to be back to get them at 11. So I can go read a book. I can go chill in my grandmother's apartment. And I can maybe go have a cup of coffee. And then I'll go back and pick them up. And if on a Sunday my wife decides to join us, we will do any shopping that needs to get done. So I've got two built-in trips per week to go to any of the stores that somebody would typically shop at for household goods. And we're talking about maybe having to, you know, give something up, or there's a give and take. Bobby, you had mentioned about how much do you want your kids to participate in and so on. I was looking at my son's band schedule, and he's got all these Tuesdays that he's going to have rehearsal. But classes for him aren't even going to let out in Batavia until between 6:45 and 7:05, but rehearsals start at 6:30. So I wrote a note with all the dates that their rehearsals are scheduled for.
In conflict.
And I basically told the director, I'm like, he will be here no later than 7:45 on these five or six dates, starting, in fact, a couple weeks ago, because it's, you know, August 20th. So I was under the assumption, as I was looking at the schedule further, that because in October, everything moved to Wednesdays, so he wouldn't have too much conflict, which is great. But then I looked and I saw that the Tuesday before they have the state championship show, which is in October, I said, oh, you know what? When I drop him off with first class, I'll talk to the professor, and I still have to figure this out with the professor, because maybe it would be in his best interest to make sure that he knows his routine down cold before they go to the Carrier Dome in late October for the state championships. Well, I looked at the syllabus when the syllabus first came out, and there was a test on that day. So I got to figure out, you know, work with my son, the director, the professor, to find out, okay, what works best for this kid here who has shown the ability to be a good student. He's very, you know, flexible in terms of what he can and cannot do in terms of the band and in terms of the course. So we're still figuring that out. But I'm sure something will work out because, you know, there's enough lead time ahead of there, and most extracurricular activity supervisors, advisors, directors, whatever you want to call them, they'll work with you if you work with them. Most of the good ones. So that's the one thing that, you know, there's give and take, but how much give and take do you want to have when classes are involved? Which I guess I'm the first one to come up to that hurdle.
Well,
out of the three of us.
Well, drama's not a grade. It's more of an extracurricular at mm-hmm. school. But band is a class that my daughter is taking in school.
And they're required to go to the concerts.
Absolutely. Yeah. So she won't miss any of those. So it's going to be between drama and karate. And I think I know which one's going to win. It's going to be drama with her if she has to give up something. And so, I mean, as disappointing as that may be to me, she loves drama way more, in my opinion. And when she goes with that, she's going to be doing something that she loves. And then she'll get back in to karate.
That, and when you go to these drama things, you can sit with some really awesome people.
Oh, yeah. Like, hey, dude, I know, I record podcasts with this guy.
Yeah.
You know? And then we can, you know, people watch and go,
I do that a lot.
Yeah, all the time.
I noticed at the concert the other night, you were definitely doing that.
I can't help it.
I was watching the lady in front of us in the white pants. She was so inebriated, she tried to clap her hands over her head and missed.
Really?
Like yes, three times
in a row.
I watched a guy in the smoking area fall up the hill.
That's impressive. This was at Art Park, right?
It was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he fell up the hill.
The only time I've ever been to Art Park was I was in high school, so we're talking like over 20 years ago, maybe 22 years ago. I don't know.
Oh, and the group of middle-aged women who were...
They were fun.
They were hilarious. Like, they were over there just drinking and dancing. And having a great time.
Yep, it was a lot of fun to watch.
They weren't being loud or obnoxious or anything, but they were just
over there. Enjoying themselves.
And that was
fantastic.
Really
cool.
Good for them. No, the only time I ever went to Art Park, Dennis Blair, somebody you've probably never heard of, opened for George Carlin. Mm. It was so worth the two-hour ride up and back from Olean. So worth it. Because my friend got a speeding ticket on the way home. Mm. Which made it even funnier when the cop was backing away, possibly thinking about letting this guy, you know, my friend, off without a ticket.
He said something, didn't he?
He did. As the cop backed away and already taken a step away from the car, my friend said, hey, do you know so-and-so? No, who's that? It's the county district attorney, my cousin. I'm like, no, I don't know him. And then he walked back to his car. I looked at my friend like, Mike, if you weren't getting a ticket before, you are definitely getting one now. And sure enough, he got a ticket. I drove. Now, it took us, I want to say, 40 minutes to get from Art Park to Ellicottville. He was booking.
Oh, yeah. That's fast.
It took us an hour to get from Ellicottville to Olean because I drove the rest of the way home, and I went 10 miles under the speed limit the rest of the way home just to tick him off.
You should have your flashers on if you're going that slow.
No, it wasn't 10, but it was a few. It was like right at the speed limit, you know? So, yeah, he wasn't happy about that. I thought it was funny, but, you know, whatever. So
we'll be putting a lot of miles on our vehicles now that school's started. That's for sure.
Yep. Mom and Dad's Taxi Service. Here we go again.
I think earlier this summer I called it Dad's Taxi Duber.
Yes.
But now since it's Mom and Dad, we can call it Parents, so Poober.
It doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't sound right at all, no.
Let me call my Pooper.
Yeah. That's so bad.
So,
all right, I think we've wrapped up yet another episode. Episode 16 is in the books.
Sweet 16.
Yep. School has started, so hallelujah.
Which means, you know, all of us are probably enjoying, you know, football and hockey's around the corner. Fall's a great season. It is truly a great season.
And if you're listening to this on the first day that it's dropped, it is the first day of Classical Ballet of Western New York and Lockport City Ballet. Just because you missed the first day doesn't mean you can't still join. So listen to the ad right after I tell you everyone thanks for listening. And go to their website or go to their studios, one in Clarence, one in Lockport, and sign up. And we'll probably see you there because I'm hanging out there a lot.
Yes, you are.
So for Howie and Bobby, this has been Craig, and this is the Dads Must Be Crazy. Thanks for listening. When you have kids, you often find yourself involved with lots of extracurricular activities. In my house, we go to dance. All four of my daughters have gone to Classical Ballet of Western New York. With two locations, Main Street in Clarence and Main Street in beautiful downtown Lockport, Classical Ballet of Western New York is a fun way for your children to learn the fine art of dance. This school provides an extensive ballet education for its students. Classical Ballet of Western New York is a cultural institution aiming to enhance the lives of the youths of the community. They strive to develop its students physically, intellectually, culturally, emotionally, and socially through the discipline of dance. Classes start in September with performances of the Nutcracker in December and a single recital for each studio in June. There are also summer workshops available. Call 631-1582 for more information or visit them on the web at www.classicalballetofwny.com. Simply click the link at the bottom of our page and you'll be there without all that typing. Our family literally visits these studios 6 days a week, and we've made many new friends while sitting in the waiting room while our kids dance. So if there's a kid in your family who loves dance, from your 3 or 4 year old all the way through high school, boys or girls, check out Classical Ballet of Western New York at 58 Main Street in Lockport or 8180 Main Street in Clarence, and tell them the dad sent you. The Dads Must Be Crazy would like to thank Scott Leffler for putting together our awesome intro to the show. And thank you to Amanda Hodge, who helps us with our designs and logos. Intro and outro music provided by Incomtech.com. Our theme music is Retro Future Clean by Kevin McLeod, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.